Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee is now called to order. And could we please have roll call? And before we do roll call, can we, you tell us who's on the line? Because we do not have video. We can't see you.
We have Committee Chair Dr. Patrick Carter, Regent Laura Perkins, and me, Trevor Hayes.
Thank you very much, Regent Hayes. Okay, so we'll go to roll call, please.
Chair Carter.
There we go. I can hear you now. I'm here.
Okay.
Vice Chair Hayes.
Here.
Regent Del Carlo.
Here.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Perkins.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Good. We have a full attendance. And I normally wouldn't be doing this, but the other three are down in Las Vegas, and we don't have the audio or the visual, so they asked me to chair that. So with that, we'll move forward to item number one for public comment. And this will be taken as an agenda item. No action can be taken on a matter raised under this item until the matter is included on an agenda as an item on which action may be taken. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person. Persons making comment will be asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. The committee chair may elect to allow additional public comment on a specific agenda item when that agenda item is not being considered. And as the chair, also, if what you're saying is disruptive or irrelevant or repetitious, slanderous, offensive, or inflammatory, irrational, or amounting to personal attacks or interfering with the rights of other speakers, you won't be allowed to speak. So with that, we'll go to Elko. And Elko, do you have any public comment?
We don't have video.
Do they have audio?
No.
No?
Because it's not a video site.
Oh, okay. So we'll go to Las Vegas. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
No public comment.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Carson City? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to item number two, our consent items. We have four. We have our minutes, and then we have a follow-up to the change in leadership at College of Southern Nevada. C, we have the purchasing card program at Western Nevada College, and we have the hosting of Nevada System Higher Education. Does anybody want to pull any of that, or do you want to just do them? Do I have approval for all four consent items?
Motion to approve.
And that was you, Regent Carter?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay, Regent McMichael. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. We'll go on to item number three. And we'll turn that over to Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunberry.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. For the record, Joe Sunberry, Chief Internal Auditor. In the audit summary document, I've included a table of the reports being presented today, along with key observations. TMCC Foundation is our first audit up today. And my compliments to my team and everyone at TMCC who was involved, as we've never performed an audit in this area before. So some quick background. As the committee knows, these foundations are subject to separate financial statement audits by an outside CPA firm, the results of which will be shared during the December board meetings. So years ago, our risk assessment process was very heavily focused on financial risk. And since that financial review is performed annually by an outside firm, this really wasn't on our radar. So with the revamp of our risk assessment process a few years ago and considerations of other types of risks, operational, regulatory, and reputation, to name a few, we felt it was worthwhile to take a look at some of these entities with a slightly different lens. And to that end, we had some useful recommendations related to asset management, cash controls, investment, and equipment, along with recommendations to review to ensure scholarships are offered in line with donor intent. Thanks.
Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
Regent Del Carlo?
Yes, Regent Carter, I think.
Yes. Well, I think this is great. This is hopefully the type of stuff that the audit committee can look at and the audit department can look at. I think there's some great recommendations in there, and hopefully TNCC Foundation found it useful. I motion to approve.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second?
Second.
Is that you, Regent McMichael?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And you couldn't see him, but TMCC President and Foundation Chair were nodding their head in agreement. So with that said, all in favor?
Aye.
Please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. And with that, we'll go on to, get that closed. Okay, we'll go on to item number four. Turn that back over to Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. So this is for grants management at GBC. Grants management, sponsored projects, it's another area of elevated risk based on those updated risk assessments. And beyond the financial implications, there are a tremendous amount of regulatory requirements in a given grant. So it's important to take a look at processes and controls in place surrounding those. So for GBC, we had recommendations in areas of cash management, effort reporting, and documentation related to expenditures, as well as enhancing controls over award documentation and closeout procedures. Thanks.
Okay, does anyone on the committee have any questions? No? Hearing none, could I have a motion for approval, please?
Motion for approval.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Regent Carter, and I thought I heard a second, maybe.
Yes.
Second. That was that you, Regent Perkins?
Yes.
Thank you very much. All in favor of the report for GBC Grants Management, please say aye.
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 Okay. Anybody oppose? Okay. Number four passes unanimously. And with that, we'll go on to item number five, the audit exception report. And we'll again turn that over to you, Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. For the record, Joe Sunbury. I think all the committee members have seen this report before, but as a reminder, this is a report on our activities for the prior 6 months. So we present this twice a year at the March meeting and at this September meeting. The format is fairly consistent with what the department has provided in the past. However, based on committee feedback and an overall departmental evolution, we continue to improve, add, change as necessary. So you may recall this report was pushing nearly 200 pages in the past. And with some formatting efforts and removal of some duplicative items, this report is roughly half of what it used to be, but providing the same information. So I need to thank my senior internal auditors, Eric Wilbur, Daisy Cavanias, for the work they've put in on that. And just wanted to highlight a few of the discussion items. So on page 5, I want to point the committee to the graph tracking our unresolved audit findings, which shows a 5-year trend. You'll see that roughly 4 years ago, these unresolved items were numbered in the 30s. And in the most recent period, that number has been shaved down to 4 unresolved items at the institutions. So that decrease is a combined effort of enhanced tracking by this committee and the hard work at the institutions. I was reading a recent thought leadership piece about top metrics internal audit should be tracking. And high on that list was things like number of open issues, number of past due issues. And one of the reasons they said these are great metrics beyond general accountability is that it's typically a strong indicator of management's buy-in and willingness to accept internal audit's recommendations. Overall, you know, this report's designed to provide a summary status update of our progress against the audit plan for the year. We also want to provide the committee with some of our own internal metrics, which you'll see on page 4. Those relate to our department as a whole. And the idea in presenting these is we want to do our best to meet the audit committee's expectations, NSHE management's expectations, and quite honestly live up to our own departmental expectations. So I'm happy to answer any questions on that front. Thanks.
Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
Regent Del Carlo?
Yes, Regent Carter?
No, I think this is great. One of the pushes of the audit committee is to try to get rid of the exemptions. We had quite a few outstanding things. in the past, and reducing that number is fantastic.
I totally agree with that, and I loved having the visual. It really shows you. To have four unresolved items, and there's eight institutions, I really have to say that's right on. So let's keep that great. Anybody else have any questions? And I'd also like to say thank you for reducing that one report from over 200 pages, because as most of you know, when we get our board packed, there's an awful lot to read, and you have to really pace yourself. So anytime you can save us duplication, that's very helpful. So with that said, would someone entertain a motion to accept the audit exception report?
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Regent Carter. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, we got Regent McMichael here first. So we have a motion and a second. So all in favor of the audit exception report, please say aye.
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 Aye. Anybody against? Thank you very much. The audit exception report passes unanimously. With that, we'll go on to item number 6, the Internal Audit Department Work Plan. And again, we'll turn that over to you, Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. For the record, Joe Sunbury. This is a relatively new makeup of the Audit Compliance and Title IX Committee. And again, just wanted to provide some historical context. So in the last 2 to 3 years, we've taken measures to ensure our audit plan captures and builds in some agility and flexibility so that as important but unforeseen projects come up throughout the year, we have that flexibility to provide resources in a timely fashion. I think a goal of any successful internal audit department is to be relevant, and part of relevance is timeliness. So building the audit plan in this way, I think, is a great way to continue our evolution from that traditional assurance provider to an advisor that can add value. So as you've heard me mention earlier today, this stems from our updated risk assessment process, and I've included a few high-level bullet points on that front in the reference materials. So I won't read those verbatim, but I did just want to run through a quick few highlights of the audit plan. We've always had hours dedicated to training, but I think showing the committee the commitment from the audit team in terms of continuing education and staying current with certifications is important. That continued theme for my team is relevance, and to stay relevant, internal and external training must be included and expected. I do mention the concept of process versus transactional reviews. And based on feedback, almost unanimous feedback from our key stakeholders, it's determined that audit often adds the most value when we're recommending process improvements. To that end, we'll try to take some of those traditional reviews and redesign how we do things and capture more process analysis. I do mention in there our incident management system. So this committee has heard me talk before about this, and this will be the first full fiscal year with this in place. So I tried to capture time for those intake procedures and review of cases. And as I point out in the memo, one of the outcomes of these processes is that our audit plan can consider data gathered in this role, which results us in having well-placed audits on that plan. And the last item, while not specifically mentioned in the memo, on the audit plan you will see several hundred hours dedicated to external audit assistance. And I wanted to recognize our audit manager in Las Vegas, who spent a fair amount of her summer with our Grant Thornton external auditors. Lauren, doing this again will result in savings of roughly $25,000 from the external audit price tag, while internal audit gets to reap the benefit of building that audit skill set in-house in that key risk area of financial aid. So we look to maintain and possibly expand on that in the future. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone on the committee have any questions? Okay, Regent McMichael. We have a comment from Regent McMichael, then we'll get to you, Regent Carter. Thank you.
I just want to commend your team on a job well done.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Regent Carter?
I think the hotline management stuff is going quite well. I think that's a good testament to Mr. Sunbury, how that's working through. A lot of those things are still working through to resolution, but it's really nice to have a resource at the system level that people can go to run issues to ground and make sure that we're following through our correct processes.
Anyone else have a comment or a question? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the internal audit department work plan.
Motion to accept.
Is that you, Regent Carter?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And a second?
Second.
Regent McMichael, all in favor of the internal audit department work plan, please say aye.
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 Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay. Number six is passed unanimously. We'll move on to seven, which is an information-only item, the internal audit department updates and emerging risks. And again, we'll turn that over to Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. For the record, Joe Sunbury, Chief Internal Auditor. So we introduced this section as a standing item to be able to provide departmental updates and just really be able to have a placeholder to discuss risk. In the past, I've used this platform to update the Committee on Financial Aid-related findings, walk through our risk assessment methodologies, speak about work that internal audit's doing related to other board initiatives. Today's update is very quick. And it's really related to my department. In an earlier agenda item, we had a metrics page that tracks, among other things, the department's pursuit of professional development. And I just specifically wanted to take a moment to talk certifications. And this is important not only because it's on the radar of this committee, but the ability to tackle different risks hinges upon the audit department's ability to stay relevant, right? And to stay relevant, we need to commit to competence. So this is even more important given, as Chair Carter noted, internal audit's recently updated role and potential reviews that come with that new incident management system. So I just wanted to quickly run down so the committee was aware of some of the certificates that we have on and certifications that we have on the team. We have a CPA, a Certified Public Accountant, with more in pursuit. We have a CIA, a Certified Internal Auditor, with more in pursuit. We have a CISA, Certified Information Systems Auditor, obviously important from an IT perspective, who works closely with Ann and her group. And we have a Certified Fraud Examiner, which is extremely important if any issues or potential issues of fraud arise. We also have an individual in pursuit of PCI compliance certification. So that relates to the payment card industry data security standard, certain requirements that NSHI has to adhere to given the amount of transactions it deals with. And we have an individual in pursuit of a CRMA, which is a certification in risk management assurance. That designation is for anyone that aspires to be an advisor to an audit committee or executive management on critical areas of risk assurance, governance processes, quality assurance, or control self-assessment. And while my personal background is with a CPA firm, I encourage the team to find something they're passionate about in a related field and become that expert so that we can provide value to the folks in this room when that time comes. Thanks.
Thank you. Does anyone on the committee have a comment or a question? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is also an information-only item, and this is on the compliance department updates. And we'll turn it back over to you, Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Joe Sunbury for the record. I'm happy to provide updates today on behalf of Director of Compliance Misty Galicia, who could not make the trek here, but did provide me with a tremendously detailed memo for this update. So I'll read some of the highlights, and I'm happy to answer any questions as best I can. In terms of a report to the committee regarding the compliance department activities during the last year, as Ms. Galicia has noted at previous meetings, the scope of compliance obligations in higher education can be somewhat staggering. Regulations come from many different sources, cover wide range of subject matter, research, sponsored projects, athletics, environmental health and safety, accounting, financial reporting, healthcare compliance. Regulators and stakeholders expect effective monitoring and auditing functions at campus level to prevent, identify, and remedy breaches of compliance obligations. So the Board of Regents approved the NSHI compliance annual work plan last year, which included the submission of compliance inventory by each campus to the system office. So individual campuses are uniquely positioned to assess which individuals, based on training, experience, and job function, hold compliance responsibilities across campus. The task put to the campuses this year was to prepare a comprehensive document that identifies the compliance obligations of the campus and the corresponding official responsible for compliance. So the purpose of the inventory from the perspective of MISTI is twofold. To provide the system office a central repository of compliance contacts on each campus, and two, to provide the campuses with a springboard for assessing gaps and risks. So with the completion of the inventories, the campuses will then use this as a tool to conduct meaningful risk assessments as the natural next step. So MISTI goes on to describe some of the direction that she provided to campuses, which I'm happy to go into more detail if anyone would like. But essentially, she met with the campuses throughout the year, provided direction, acted as a resource for the project, and each of the campuses was engaged and interactive in the process, and each campus has now submitted a compliance inventory to the NSHE Compliance Department. I'll stop there if there's any specific questions.
To this point, does anyone have a question?
I'll keep moving.
Okay, he'll keep going.
Ms. Galicia also provides an update on the healthcare activity compliance plans. She points out that institutions which engage in the delivery of healthcare aim to do so with excellence and integrity. And NSHE institutions which fulfill this double-faceted role are to be commended. The Board of Regents, through its compliance charter, requires NSHE institutions, units, and programs engaged in the clinical practice of medicine or allied healthcare to develop and maintain a written compliance plan as set forth in the handbook, Title IV, Chapter 9, Section E. So MISTI goes on to describe in pretty great detail the seven elements of an effective compliance plan. I'll just run very quickly through those seven. It's implementation of written standards, policies, and procedures, compliance program oversight and administration, screening and evaluation of employees, physicians, vendors, and other agents, communication, education, and training on compliance issues, monitoring, auditing, and internal reporting systems, enforcing standards through well-publicized disciplinary guidelines, and responding promptly to detected offenses and undertaking corrective actions. So she's been working with the campuses to draft and or revise their respective healthcare activity compliance plans. And one other update that I thought was salient. I did just want to share, she included some excellent comments that she received during the year from campuses, especially as it related to its compliance inventory, and I thought I'd just read a few of those if the committee doesn't mind. So all campuses have compiled their compliance inventory, which has provided the campuses with an opportunity to evaluate their responsibilities and how to best meet these obligations. The benefits of the compliance inventory are best described by the campuses directly. So DRI stated, the consolidated list created through the compliance inventory will enable DRI to monitor compliance from an institutional level effectively. It will also serve as a useful tool in ensuring policies are compliant with current statutes and regulations as DRI continues to update and revise administrative policies. Just picking a few others, GBC mentioned the compliance inventory is a good measure of where we're at and areas we need to focus on over the next year. Provides a mechanism to assist with providing information and training to new staff. And finally, Western Nevada College, since that's where we're at. We've agreed to put the compliance inventory on a master calendar and to review our compliance once every year. This exercise in conducting a compliance inventory also provided an opportunity to review policies and practices and has made us all more aware of the college's compliance responsibilities. So I think that's hearing it straight from the institutions, I think, shows that that activity kind of served its purpose, and I'll stop there.
Very good. Does anyone on the committee have a comment or a question? Anybody? Thank you to MISTI. Please pass on that. That's a very excellent report. And I all worked corporate, and I always saw an audit as an, and you said the word opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve, and we have the climate here is not that it's a gotcha. You're out to get someone. So, I mean, it's just to stay in compliance and just to keep everything running smoothly. So thank you very much for that thorough report. And with that, we'll go on to item number 9. It's also an information-only item, and this is on Title IX updates. And again, we'll turn this over to Chief Internal Auditor Joe Sunbury.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Again, Joe Sunbury for the record, providing updates on behalf of Director of Compliance Galicia. This one I'll just read verbatim as it's a very quick item. So regarding revisions to the Title IX provisions of the Board of Regents Handbook, following the June 6, 2019 Audit Compliance and Title IX Committee meeting, which included a presentation on the Board of Regents Title IX policy, Chief General Counsel indicated he would facilitate the process of drafting proposed changes to the current policy based on input from the campuses. It was determined the policy revisions would move forward without waiting for a decision by the U.S. Department of Education on the proposed changes to federal law. This project is now underway. So it sounds like there's more to come on that at a future meeting. If the committee would like, we can certainly keep this Title IX update as a placeholder on the agenda for future meetings. Thanks.
Does anyone have any questions or comments? Regent Carter, you are the chair of this committee.
Regent Del Carlo?
Yes. That's Regent Hayes, right?
This is, yes, ma'am. I think we should probably keep it on. There's a lot in flux with Title IX right now as it pertains to education. And so we keep it on whenever the federal regulations, which are in draft form now, get finalized so we can make sure that we are following best practices and making the changes that are necessary.
This is Richard Carter. I think that doesn't say about the same thing. I think we need to keep that as a standing item for now.
And this is Regent Del Carlo. I totally agree with that. We want to stay ahead of the curve on anything the federal government is doing. So, absolutely. So, anybody else have a question or comment on that one? All right. Hearing none, we'll go on to item number 10. Which is new business. Do any of you regents have any new business you'd like to see on our next agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to public comment. Is there any public comment? I don't believe we got ALCO, right? Okay, any public comment in Las Vegas?
No.
No? Any public comment here in Carson City? Hearing none, no public comment. Another record. I think we can adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much.